Hello, this is Pastor Travis George, Lake Hamilton Assembly of God Church. I want to welcome you to our podcast. We're about ready to join in on one of our recent Sunday services that has already begun. So get ready to enjoy some powerful preaching with some timeless truths from the Word of God.
I want to share with you best I can what I feel like the Lord has given me today. In Mark 2, verse number 23, says, "It came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto them, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, and he went, and they that were with him, how he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and he gave them also to them that were with him. Where he said, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Lord is Lord also of the Sabbath." Here's what I have in my mind that I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying to me this morning. There are a couple of different seasons that you can come to in life. There are sometimes when there's no grain, that the field is closed. There's no grain available. And then there's other times that you come to in life to where the grain is ready, where the field is ripe. You guys know that. We live in a state where there's agriculture that goes on. And you know, at some points in the season, the fields are barren, like right now. And here in a few months, they'll be green and growing again, and then there'll be harvest season that'll come around again. If you've ever been over in East Arkansas and those big farms in the Delta, whenever it becomes harvest time, you'll see all those combines working those fields, bringing in the grain when it's time. What the Lord, I feel like, was saying to me today is, not only for you is the field, is the corn ripe, but God is opening the field to you. Okay, now what does that mean, Pastor? Corn is symbolic of revelation, of getting something from God, getting a word from the Lord. Corn is symbolic of receiving from the Lord, receiving corn from the Lord, receiving life. It says when in the Old Testament, when Joshua and the children of Israel finally crossed over the Jordan River, that they were still eating the manna from the wilderness. But it says after they crossed over, there was a season when there was no more manna, and they ate fresh the corn that was grown in the new land. They began to eat the fruit of the land. So what God is saying to me, I believe what he's trying to say to us is this. We're going to not only see a season where the field is open, meaning there's lots of opportunity for ministry, but God is going to pour fresh corn in, fresh word, fresh revelation, fresh ideas, fresh anointing to renew you. We're not going to have to live off leftovers anymore, but God is going to pour fresh corn in if you're willing to reach out your hand and pluck it. Huh? It says the Lord went through the cornfield on the Sabbath day, and his disciples were with him, and they were hungry, so they began to pluck corn themselves and began to eat. I'm trying to tell you, you cannot wait on this pastor nor any other minister to feed you. You need to reach your hand out and grab the corn that God is opening to you and providing for you, and to begin to receive it. Now, folks, I'm going to do my best on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights to present to you the Word of God every opportunity that I get. But that is not enough. You need to pluck. And God says, not only do you need to pluck some corn, not only do you need to get into the Word and look for some revelation, some knowledge, some insight, but I'm going to open the field. Things you couldn't understand before, you're going to get fresh insight on. Things that have been hidden from you and not understandable, God is going to speak to you about those things. Things you've been, I feel like, I don't often operate in the prophetic, but I feel like I need to right now. Things that have not been disclosed to you, that you've been seeking God and you don't have an answer, God is going to give you clarity and insight and direction. New vision that will not cancel out the old vision, but that will enable you to supplement and complement the old vision so that you can run the race that is set before you. As you go through, don't be afraid to reach out and to pluck the corn. Well, if Jesus wants me to have it, why doesn't he give me fresh ears of corn on the plate? He says, reach out there and grab it. I'm leading you through it. Here we are walking through the cornfield. Reach out and grab it. Harvest it. Reach in. Reach in for yourself. Did you know that the religious people of that day said, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're having your disciples do that which is unlawful on the Sabbath day. But the Old Testament law always gave provision for the travelers and the strangers in the land when the field came into harvest. It says, if you pass by your neighbor's vineyard and there's grapes on the vine, you may pluck what you can hold in your hand to eat. He says, if you pass by your neighbor's standing grain that is ripe and you are hungry, you can reach in your hand and pluck handfuls for yourself. It says you can't take a sickle, you can't take a harvester in there, but you can pluck handfuls from your neighbor's standing grain when the field comes ripe. Now, what does that have anything to do with it? That's like when you hear another church is having revival, having something going on somewhere else, and you go over there and you visit that, you can get handfuls, right? You can get some of their grapes, and you can get some of their corn. But what I'm telling you right now, folks, 2014 was a rough year at Lake Hamilton Assembly. We saw the enemy hit us and hit us again, but we're still standing and God is still good. But 2015, the field is open and the corn is ripe in the name of Jesus. And we're going to eat. We're not going to go over there and get some of their corn and go down the street and get a little bit of their grapes and try to get filled on the handfuls that we get from somebody else's field. We're going to receive fresh revelation and fresh anointing from the hand of the Lord for ourselves if you will just get in and dig for it. Get in there and reach your hands out and grab it yourself. And now, the rest of that story is they began to complain. It's always amazed me how far people will go to criticize what you're doing. Maybe I shouldn't get off on that subject, but here comes these religious leaders to come and criticize what Jesus is doing. I always wonder if they didn't break a Sabbath law to go and criticize what somebody else was doing that was breaking a Sabbath law, because the Sabbath law said you could only go so many steps on the Sabbath. You could only journey so far. How far did those people go just to gripe about what Jesus and the disciples were doing? What are you trying to say, Pastor? Some of your family, some of your co-workers, some of your friends, some of your grandchildren, some of your spouses are going to criticize when you start reaching out to try to grab some fresh corn, when you start trying to learn something new from the Lord, when you start trying to do something fresh for God, when you say, I need to make a change in my life. They're going to criticize you and try to come against you and try to say things against you. You need to make up your mind that what you want more than their praise and their accommodation is that you want to receive a fresh touch in your life from the mighty one of Israel, from God the Almighty One, that you want to hear from Him. Amen. There's plenty of detractors. Oh no, you don't need to do that. Why? But here's the second thing. Jesus said, basically all we're doing is what David did. All right, do you read that in Mark chapter number 2 there? He says, why are you criticizing what we're doing? Do you not know what David did? Do you not know what David did when he was running for his life? Where do you find that story? I believe it is in 1 Samuel. I think it's around chapter 21. Somewhere in that neck of the woods in the Bible. David was running for his life. King Saul wanted to kill him. He and his men fled. They didn't take anything with them. They went to Abiathar, the high priest. And David said, do you have anything that you can give us, something to eat? Is there anything you can give us? And the high priest said, all we've got to eat here is the showbread. What is the showbread? The showbread was part of their worship. They baked fresh bread daily, and they placed it in the tabernacle as an act of worship. And after the bread had served its time on the altar in the tabernacle, then the priests were allowed to eat that bread. But David, here comes David, and he says, David, I don't have anything to give you guys except the showbread. And David says, give me that bread. Give me that bread. What's David signifying there? David is signifying that he is a priest, not after the order that Abiathar is a priest after the order of, but a priest after the order that God has established him to be through the anointing that God has on his life. But anyway, I'm getting to something else in this story. David ate, and then he asked Abiathar, he asked the high priest, he said, do you have any weapons here? We left in haste, and there are no weapons. And he said, David, there's only one weapon here, the sword of Goliath, whom you slew, which is wrapped in an ephod and hidden behind the altar. Can I ask you something? You can read this on your own if you'd like. I believe it's 1 Samuel, somewhere 20, 21, 22, right in there. There's only this one sword, and we've wrapped it in the ephod, and we've hidden it behind the altar. Why? Why? Why did they take the sword of Goliath? I bet everybody in the room is familiar with who Goliath is. We know David and Goliath, and we're familiar with that story. The champion of the Philistines that David slew with a sling and a stone. You don't hear anything about his sword after you know that David took and chopped off Goliath's head, right? Well, evidently what happened was that sword was taken as the spoils of battle, and it ended up wrapped in an ephod and hidden in the tabernacle. And here's David now at a point in his life where he needs something. He needs something so that he can go on his journey. Now listen, I'm going somewhere, I promise you. This is going to make sense. And the high priest gives him the sword of Goliath. Why was it in the tabernacle, hidden behind the altar? Do you know that at this point in Israel's history, the Ark of the Covenant is lost? The Ark of the Covenant is gone. They decided that all they needed to beat their enemy was to show up at the battle with the Ark of God's presence with them, and they would win every time. What they forgot was that God wanted a relationship with them on a daily basis so that then He would show up and defeat their enemies. They were neglecting God all the time until they needed to go to the tabernacle and drag out the Ark of the Covenant. So they come into battle one day with the Ark of the Covenant, and boy, they're all excited, but the enemy had an inkling that something wasn't right, and the enemy commander said, just fight anyway. Just fight them. Let's see, they're just shouting. They're just excited. Let's fight. And in the battle that day, not only did Israel lose, but the Ark of God's presence was taken away by the Philistines, by the enemies of Israel. So at the point where David comes to the tabernacle and says, is there a sword? The Ark of God's presence. I know maybe you don't understand the significance of that. There's a church every couple of blocks on Airport Road, and we've all got altars, or I assume they do. Many of them have altars at the front. Man, you can visit this one. You can go right across the street and visit another one. You can go right down just a little ways and visit another one, and we've got churches on every corner. There was one place in Israel where they met with God, the tabernacle. And in that tabernacle at David's day was a special place called the holiest place. It was set apart, and the only thing in the holiest place was the Ark of the Covenant, a golden box. On the inside of that box was the tablets where God wrote down the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna from the wilderness, and Aaron's rod that budded. All that's Old Testament stuff. That's what was in it. What's important about it was on the top of that box were two golden angels. And when the high priest went in to pray into the holiest place, the glory of God Himself came down and sat on top of that box between those two angels. Do you understand? That's the only place on earth where God met face to face with man. That's the only place on earth at that time where God was allowing man to come directly into His presence. And now it's in the hands of the devil. Huh? How did that happen? Because they were careless with it. They didn't maintain. They didn't take care of their relationship. And it was taken. So here comes David, to get back to this story, and he asks for a weapon. Folks, the only thing they had as a symbol of God's power and presence in the land of Israel was the sword of Goliath that David had taken away from him by a divine act of God. A little teenage boy and a 12-foot-tall giant, and the only way that battle is won is because God did it. The ark, the presence of God, is gone, so in its place, they put the sword of Goliath. So they can say, oh, I know things aren't great right now, but do you remember when David, do you remember when God delivered Goliath into our hands? Do you remember when that happened? Are you tracking with me? Do you understand? They took that into the tabernacle and they had it there. Let me tell you what's important about that. The high priest went and he gave that sword to David and he said, you killed him anyway. It's really your property. Here you go. Folks, sometimes in your battle against the enemy, what you have to stand on are the victories that you've already won in the past. And you have to stand there with that sword of Goliath, so to speak, in your life. And you have to say, I know it feels empty and alone right now, but I remember when God brought a miracle in my life. I remember when he healed me before. I remember when he touched my baby that was sick in the middle of the night. I remember when he saved my brother out of the depths of sin. I remember when he caused my, caused this problem to be answered and my needs to be met. Are you with me? As you began to reach out and grab some new grain and to receive new things from the Lord, you need to hold up that sword of Goliath that God has ministered in your life. I don't know what it might be for you. It might be when God set you free from drugs. It might be when God brought you out of a bad relationship and put you in a good relationship. It might be when God heard your prayers and saved your children. It might be when God met a financial need in your life. But every one of us could stand up and say, I remember when my Goliath fell. At least I hope you have that testimony. That you can say, I remember when that Goliath of cigarettes fell. I remember when that Goliath of alcoholism fell. I remember when my addiction to pornography fell. I remember when my migraine headache giant fell. I remember when God did it in my life. But now the other important part is that sword was wrapped in an ephod. What's important? Dear Lord, I hope this is making sense to you because there's no notes, no outline. I'm just talking to you from my heart this morning. The ephod was what the priest put on when he was going to seek an answer from the Lord. It was a garment that the priest put on when he needed to seek an answer from the Lord. You'll read in David's life where he's faced with things, and it says he put on the ephod and worshiped God. What are you talking about? I believe that I'm right in saying there's a point in David's life where the enemy comes in and steals all of his stuff, steals all their wives, steals all their children, takes everything. And the men are saying, maybe we ought to just stone David and go back and serve Saul. And I believe it says, I haven't read it recently, but I believe it says right there that David put the ephod on and worshiped the Lord and asked him, what should I do? What should I do? Where should I go? What I'm trying to say to you is this. Sometimes it's enough to defeat the devil that's coming against you by holding up that sword of Goliath, that trophy, that memory, that testimony of what God's already done in your past. But folks, sometimes you'll say, oh, but God has brought me a mighty long way. And then your old flesh or the old devil sitting on your shoulder will say, yeah, but just because he's done it before doesn't mean he's ever going to do it again. Oh, but that was just a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You're never going to feel that way again. You're never going to get that blessing again. You're never going to get out of this trouble that you're in, right? Devil ever tell any of y'all that kind of stuff? You're never going to get out of this mess. You're never going to feel better. Your finances are never going to get straightened up. Nobody's ever going to love you. Nobody's ever going to be your friend. Huh? You're never going to see a soul saved in your ministry. Anybody ever hear that kind of stuff? Oh, what kind of future do your kids possibly have in the world in which we're in right now? Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I hear from the devil. And I say, oh, but. And he says, yeah, but that's yesterday, man. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about tomorrow. That's when I got to put my ephod on. What? That's when I got to start saying, Lord, you are God and your goodness endures forever. Lord, you are Lord, and your mercy endureth forever. That's when I got to start saying, There is a fountain. Huh? That's when I've got to start saying, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to worship you. You've brought me all this way, and now I'm just going to put the ephod on. Now I'm just going to be a worshiper. I don't know exactly what the ephod looked like. I picture, in my mind, I picture like an apron. That's kind of what I picture. Right or wrong, that's what I picture. And I picture putting on that apron, that ephod of worship, and just saying, you know what? I could get down and I could sit here on this bench and I could just gripe. It's not fair. I've not done anything wrong. I do my best. I serve God the best I can. And look what's happening to me. Every time something goes right, three things go wrong. Every time I take one step forward, three steps go backwards. Every time I save a little money, a bill comes up that takes what I saved plus some extra. Huh? I could sit down and gripe. You could too. You could sit down and say, I give, give, give to my family, and all they do is take, 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 and they don't ever show any compassion towards me. Huh? Anybody? All I do is work for the man. I just work for my boss all the time, and all he does is want more, more, more. Am I connecting with any of you right there? All of us could gripe about things. Man, I just keep going to the doctors. They just keep trying stuff. It never works. I don't know what's going on. I've decided that things change in my life a whole lot faster if I decide that I'm going to say, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? You say, Pastor, do you really feel that way? Sometimes, I know that God's wonderful, but sometimes when I start singing an old song, I don't feel that way. I feel beat up and wore down and tired, discouraged. But I began to sing about the amazing grace of my God. I began to sing about the old rugged cross. Huh? I began to sing about how he loves me. You know? I began to sing about 10,000 reasons to worship God. I began to sing about the goodness of God. No, I'm telling you, I actually began to sing and began to worship God. That song wasn't on the radio. I don't have that CD. It don't matter. You just open your mouth and begin to worship God. Let me tell you, sometimes I just make up songs. Amen. Right? I just sing and make up songs. The Apostle Paul says, encourage one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. What am I saying? We all get excited when the pastor talks about fresh corn and fresh revelation and God's going to open new fields. That's exciting. Y'all were all amening me a few minutes ago. Then I start talking about how you're going to need that sword from Goliath. And you're going to need your ephod. Because when you start plucking corn, brothers, the God, little g, of this world is going to say, no, wait just a minute there. I'm going to see what I can do to put a shutdown on this operation. And he's going to come against you to try to discourage you, to try to defeat you, to try to go back in the same rut that you were in before. Come on. You know what a rut is, right? You've heard this, haven't you? You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends knocked out. I don't want to be in a rut. I'm not ready for that yet. I want to go where the Spirit leads. I want to do what God wants to do. So what I'm trying to tell you, church, our visitors that are here today, I want to encourage you. You weren't here by accident. You were here today to hear from the Lord. And I believe that God's message is for you today as well, that God is going to supply fresh revelation, fresh open fields, new anointing, new power in your life if you'll just reach out your hands for it. Reach out your hands into your word. Reach out your hands into prayer and reach for what God has for you, and he's going to reveal to you. But for everybody else, all of our regulars that are here today, I'm telling you, for Lake Hamilton Assembly, we're walking into a new field. Amen? We're walking into a new field with fresh corn and fresh revelation from God, fresh anointing and fresh power. But in this field, I need you to have that Goliath sword, and I need you to have that ephod. Please, let me implore you, Let me implore you. Worship is not conducted by the people that stand on the platform. We're just trying to lead you. So worship the Lord when we come together. Worship the Lord out there. Turn on K-Love and worship the Lord. If you don't have any good CDs for worship, I'll give you a few because I've got more than I can use. I'll give you some of mine. Just give them to you. If you want a good worship CD that you can worship with, come and see me. Worship out there Monday through Saturday. And then when you come in, we won't have to throw some diesel fuel on your old wet logs and try to get a match to light, you know, and hope that we stumble across just the right song and just the right key that'll excite you. But you'll already come into this place with your fire burning.
Amen.
And when we all gather all these burning brands together in this one place, the roof will come off of the place. Why? Folks, because we need these huddles. We need to come together in the box so that we can go back out of the box and take Jesus to this world. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to what? This is the theme for this year, for this church. What's the theme? We're getting outside the box, and we're going to do it by declaring God's word. We're going to get it by expecting God's power and God's miracles. And then we're going to get it by taking action and doing things that we haven't done before. Okay? And so here's what we got to do right now as I dismiss you. We've had the altar time in the middle of the service, but I've got plenty of time to pray for you after service if you need prayer. But what we're going to do as a group is we're going to declare, in just a moment I'm going to have you stand, and we're going to declare, Lord, I declare that we're walking into an open field with ripe corn, and I'm going to do my part to bring in the harvest. And I expect, God, that you're going to show up in power, and I am ready. Man, will you stand with me as we get ready to go? Now, let me tell you, before we begin praying, if you still need individual prayer, these altars are always open. And I would love to pray with you after service if you need prayer. So you can come. But right now, what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're willing, if you're ready with me to move on beyond 2014 and to move into the year of grace, 2015, and see what God is going to do in our church, let's lift our hands towards the Lord, and let's together pray. God, right now, we receive from you fresh corn in an open field. God, right now, we're receiving fresh corn in an open field. We're going to get new revelation, new power, new anointing, new vision, new direction in 2015. And God, I expect you to show up and to do wonderful things as we begin to enjoy the fresh corn. God, you're going to show up and do wonderful things. And Lord, I'm going to do my part to bring in the harvest at Lake Hamilton Assembly of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to share. I'm going to give. I'm going to go. I'm going to serve, Lord, whatever I need to do. Lord, we stand before you and we make this declaration right now, expecting to see great things from the hand of our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We give you praise and we thank you, Lord, because you are great and greatly to be praised. Will you join with me in a hand clap offering unto the Lord this morning? Let's praise him. Glory, 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 glory. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. You are great. You do miracles so great. Hallelujah. Let me just remind you before we go, service tonight at 6 o'clock. If you can come, I'm going to bless you. And then these altars are open if you need individual prayer. Father God, I bless this congregation right now in the name of the Lord. And I ask you to keep them as they go from here. Let your countenance shine on them. Let your face be upon them and lead them and guide them. Now, Father, if there are those still needing prayer, let them come and be bold to come to the altar that we might pray for them to get them some fresh corn today before they go home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We appreciate you and hope to see you at the altar or tonight for service.